You're listening to the CryptoCast podcast.
Welcome to the Crypto and Blockchain Talk.
Hello.
Hey.
Guten Tag.
Aloha.
Kere.
Shalom.
Hallo.
Namaste.
Ni hao.
Vivet.
Hello.
Salut.
Yassas.
Salve.
Ciao.
Bonjour.
Our podcast talks about the latest trends in the worlds of cryptocurrencies and the blockchain. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Crypto and Blockchain Talk, where this week we're going to be talking about crypto wallets. Now, I would actually recommend, before you listen to this podcast, if you are completely new to the world of crypto, you may want to listen to many of our other episodes, which gently lead you into the worlds of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. These episodes can be found on cryptoandblockchaintalk.com. Getting straight to the topic of this podcast, it is important to realize that when choosing how to store your precious cryptocurrencies, it is important to keep one thing in mind. Your actual coins are not stored there. They are always on the distributed blockchain. The wallets only hold the private keys and passwords to them. So, if you've at least printed out a copy or wrote a post-it note somewhere, you can lose your wallet, have a hard drive crash, or any number of disasters occur, and you will still recover your funds. A wallet is merely an app to access the blockchain, or several different blockchains, if you have one of those fancy multi-currency wallets, which we will discuss later in this podcast. Is one better than the other? Well, some might have more features, and some wallets may be easier to use than the others, but security is the highest priority of them all, to all of them. Typically, every blockchain will have its own wallet released for it. Some are very simple, light wallets that do not require you to spend days downloading a 50 gigabyte blockchain file, and then another 15 minutes waiting for it to sync every time you open it. Other wallets are awful, and this is no way to get mass adaptation. So let's look at what is popular and why. Let's first cover custodial services. A custodial service is like a vault. Custodial services have heightened security measures and keep most or all of their data containing its users' keys offline, which is the only way to truly be 100% safe. This is good for long-term solutions where you do not need immediate access to your funds. Usually, you will have to go through a process to withdraw, and they will need to do something on their end to put your keys back online for you to use. In addition, these services are gigantic honeypots for hackers attempting to pull off the heist of a lifetime. If they did, everybody could be in trouble. Is it possible for a hacker to steal your offline keys? In theory, it is, like anything. But that is if they have sniffed network traffic during the original sign-up or during the withdrawal process. There are also a lot of fake websites that pose as legitimate services, which will just steal your crypto right away. So be very wary of who you are dealing with. There are the big boys of custodial services, and the first one to talk about is Coinbase Custody. Everybody trusts Coinbase as one of the most legitimate cryptocurrency operations. Based in San Francisco in the United States, it is the leading place for buying Bitcoin and Ethereum within the USA, and is launching an extended custody service that will support all ERC-20 tokens, which are Ethereum-based tokens, of which there are many in existence and also launching soon. Currently, they offer offline vault service to Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, Ethereum Classic, and Litecoin. ItBit is also a well-known exchange for institutional class crypto trading. They offer a cold storage service with 24-hour customer service representatives based in New York and Singapore. The company ItBit itself is based in New York State. Recently, a report on fake volume trading to inflate numbers was released, and it had flagged ItBit for an absurd amount of false data to make itself look much larger than it actually is. But an official refute of this report has yet to take place, which pointed the finger at dozens of large exchanges challenging their credibility. So you need to be advised to do more research on ITBIT, but seeing how New York does not play around when it comes to Bitcoin laws, ITBIT must surely practice total legal compliance to avoid being shut down and having its founders thrown in prison for fraud, which is no joke. Gemini is another USA-based crypto custody and exchange platform that allows for institutional money that needs to be moved and exchanged frequently. The founders, who are the Winklevoss twins, recently had an ETF proposal denied by the SEC, but it will likely be revised again and again and again until it is approved. Once approved, it will be another product in which they can offer people the ability to own Bitcoin without actually having it. The last custodial services company I want to mention is Ledger, and the company that makes the Ledger Nano hardware wallets that everybody loves so much also offers this vault service with no hardware required. Based in France, Ledger's institutional class service offers multi-authentication, time lock, and other custom rules that must be met before money can be moved. If you need a solution for long-term storage and complicated withdrawals, or require the use of multi-sig authentication, Ledger is a good choice. Now I would like to talk about hardware wallets. Now these little guys are custom-made USB sticks that have an app on them that you can run on your computer whenever you need to transfer funds in or out. The biggest threat to hardware wallets is you. These are small items that can be easily lost, stolen, crushed, flushed, and cracked. And you can bet hackers are well aware of them and one day will have the computer malware that targets the infiltration of these devices once they are plugged into your computer. If that doesn't exist already, that is. If you're one of those people who likes to surf the web like a maverick and often catch yourself saying, "Darn it, another virus," a hardware wallet is not going to save you forever. It is a good idea to have a second computer that you use only for trading and that has premium antivirus software. You can disregard the big name bloatware like McAfee or Symantec and use best-in-class products like Kaspersky Labs, Bitdefender, or Malwarebytes Pro. There are three hardware wallets I'd like to talk about, the first being Ledger's Nano S. Now, Ledger, as we already talked about, is an industry leader in securing cryptocurrencies. They have support for a lot of top-notch coins, but not with everything. With multiple styles of hardware wallets to choose from, they have a really nice product line that provides an easy intro into crypto for everyone. To see which coins are currently supported and by what devices, go on to ledger.com and you can actually click on there to find out which coins are supported. The next hardware wallet I'd like to talk about is also by Ledger, which is Ledger Blue. Ledger addressed the problem with potential computer security by taking a hardware wallet to the next level. And Ledger Blue is not a USB stick, it's a tablet. A touchscreen tablet that you can use to deposit and withdraw coins from without the need for another device. This eliminates that unnecessary security risk, making Ledger Blue a fantastic choice. Even if it should be compromised one day, it will be very hard for hackers to even find one to access, and a patch can easily be applied automatically by Ledger. Well, at least we hope so. The last hardware wallet is Trezor, and Trezor's hardware wallets support an unbelievable amount of coins, 689 and counting. They have already expected you to lose or break your wallet, so they provide you with a backup recovery seed to easily recover your accounts without having to wait days or weeks in email support queues for help. If you've been into crypto for more than 5 minutes, you know what a nightmare customer service is in this industry, but Trezor has you covered. Of course, when talking about crypto wallets, we need to cover mobile apps. Because why do we need an offline vault or weird websites and custom hardware? Can't we just use our phones for it like we do everything else? But of course you can, is the answer. But you still need to beware of fake phishing wallets that still make their way onto the App Store and Google Play from time to time. Whatever claims to be the next best thing, it is probably a scam. So you need to stick with what's proven. Now, under the symbol BRD, the Bread Wallet is a long favorite mobile app. BRD supports Bitcoin and Ethereum-based tokens and has a fully functioning suite of features to use. Their wallet is open source, which means the community can improve it or fix any flaws without waiting for 2 years, like we do anytime Apple messes something up with Mac or OS X. Jax, another mobile app, is a multi-currency mobile wallet that has been around since 2014, so we're pretty sure they're not going to exit scam us at this point. It is a closed source software, which may be more to your liking if you don't like the idea of anybody being able to look at your code that your money relies on to be safe. Have a look at the list of supported coins on Jax, as you will be certainly surprised at what is on the list, such as Dentacoin and Rootstock, and what is not on the list, such as Ripple, Stellar, and Neo. The last mobile wallet is the Exodus wallet, which has a really nice support list of over 85 coins to populate one of the best-looking interfaces on the market, and it is closed-source software. Thorough documentation and tutorials may help make this a solid choice for anyone's first mobile wallet app. Now, many people do ask us, why do I need any of this stuff when I can just leave my coins on the exchange? When your coins are sitting on an exchange, they are not your coins anymore. They are in your account on the exchange, but on blockchain records, they are sitting in the exchange's wallet. And if the exchange is shut down or hacked, you are out of luck. The exchange may try to compensate their users if the exchange was legitimate to begin with, but you may have no claim. The blockchain record is what establishes real ownership. This same argument could be made for custodial reasons as well, so be very careful. Most currencies worth their salt will offer a paper wallet option. It is literally a piece of paper you print out that has your address, private key, and QR code for future recovery on it. You need to keep that paper in a safe or safety deposit box at the bank or somewhere it can never be found or destroyed by anyone other than you. These are designed for very long-term holders who will not be using it for any transactions at all, except to one day sell it in the distant future. What you do with a paper wallet is the principal factor of this being the most secure solution at the same time as being the biggest risk. Now, I want to end this podcast with some security tips, because there is no one best solution for everybody, and in general, every legitimate wallet or service is acceptable and secure, and nothing bad should ever happen to the users who follow the proper security measures. The best practice is to use multiple wallets with different passwords held on different machines in various locations. Keep track of what is where by using a spreadsheet, and of course, never store passwords on that same spreadsheet. Just like you would on any kind of password-protected device, you need to use incredibly long passphrases instead of passwords with hints only you would understand. An inside joke mixed with some random characters to prevent dictionary attacks make great passwords. And make sure your email address password is changed often. If you use Google services like Gmail and Authenticator for 2FA, make sure that the passwords you use are not the same as any of your wallet's or exchange's passwords. This is very important. A hacked Google account is a potentially catastrophic single point of failure. Fortunately, they take serious measures to protect their users, so opt in to all of them. On wallets and exchanges, always use 2FA, which is two-factor authentication, when available, because a few extra seconds of your life is not worth losing your entire crypto savings. I would like to thank you for listening to this week's podcast, and if you would like to listen to the rest of the episodes as mentioned before, please log on to www.cryptoandblockchaintalk.com. In addition, you can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and we hope that you leave some positive comments. And if you would like to know more, or if you would like us to cover a topic we haven't covered yet, please email us at education@savvy.com. That's education@savvydigital.com. We would like to thank you again for listening and look forward to you listening to our next podcast. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the CryptoCast podcast. Stay tuned in for more episodes.